One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wewe ni ajab sana na wewe ni mrembo sana. Swahili. Pankuchela ayan. Somalian. Oriatia ogambachi mrembo. Ugandan. I'm a badass bitch. English. I'm telling you in 4 f***ing different languages. How fabulous and badass bitch.
Guys, welcome to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine. Today, we are embarking on a new Housewives franchise. That's right, talking about the series premiere of Real Housewives of Dubai. Join with me, the incredible Troy McKeehu. Hi. And Dunzo Podcast.
Hello. Hi. How are you, Kara?
Yeah, not good. So we're gonna have to issue a disclaimer right off the bat. Neither of us are feeling well.
Yeah.
And so there might be a time or two where you just hear dead air, and just be sure that we're not gone. We're coughing. So
yeah. Just know that I'm like doing a nasty, rotted cough on mute that I don't want to subject you to.
Yeah, but you know what? We're show business women. Women in show business, and you guys, I'm so sick. Like, I can't even think. So let's get into this series. So what were your, like, initial reactions to the announcement of Dubai, specifically?
I was a little annoyed by it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I was annoyed because I knew, like, what it would bring. I was like, oh, here we go. Like, I was just not ready for the conversation. I wasn't, like, prepared for that.
Yep.
And, you know, and also just, like, opening up the floodgates to all of Middle America about what happens in Dubai. Like, I just wasn't ready for that.
Right. How are you feeling about, like, Housewives, like, the state of the Housewives right now? Are you a little bit burnt out? Are you still excited? Are you watching Beverly Hills?
I definitely am not going to say that I get, like, super excited. I feel like I'm in autopilot with the Housewives at this point, and, like, I'll just never stop. I still watch all of them, and I constantly liken them to their better days. but, you know, I'm always going to be a Bravo girl. Like, no matter what I say, I'm full of shit, you know?
At our core, we're liars.
And
podcasters. Are you caught up with Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Okay. Just very quickly, where are you on, like, the Crystal of it all? Because I'm fully Team Crystal, and I'm feeling like she's shouting into the void, and these bitches just aren't understanding what she's saying.
I think that Crystal is just too advanced emotionally and, like, language-wise for these women. Like, it's gonna take all of them years of work to be able to even, like, fully have a conversation with her and, like, comprehend what she's saying, because they're not capable. Like, her third eye is open. Sorry.
Big time. I love that, like, she said that this is not a safe space, or that these women, like, she doesn't feel good around the women, and Dorit's response to that is like, what the fuck are you talking about, Crystal?
I know.
Yeah, I'm sure that made her feel really good. I'm also, like, you know, dare I say, a little bit disappointed in Garcelle. Her turning so quickly on Crystal, I'm just feeling, like, dizzy. Like, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing about... The thing about Beverly Hills that's frustrating is, like, because the women have no true loyalty to each other, like, there are no stakes. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter to me really who doesn't get along in this group. Whereas, like, before, like, the reason that, like, the, like, for example, like, the Lisa and Kyle stuff, like, there were stakes in that relationship, right?
Right.
That felt really, really intense, and, like, that's what drew you to it. I don't really care if, like, I don't care if anybody in this group doesn't like anybody. It just feels really interchangeable in a way.
You're right. Yeah, like, there really are no stakes. Like, yeah, I'm there's no, like, core relationship that I really care about. I feel like they're trying to make it with, like, the Fox Force 5 or whatever, but, like, I don't know a single one of them.
Yeah, and, like, Garcelle and what's her name?
Sutton? Crystal?
And Sutton. Garcelle and Sutton is so new, you know, it's like, they just seem like they are they're trauma bonding more so than, like, having a real friendship. They're just friends because they're in such a rotted group of women. Like, I don't know. Beverly Hills is, like, on its best day at this point, I still don't think it's very good.
Yeah.
I agree. Jersey was great, though, this year. Oh, my God.
Do you think that was your favorite season or franchise of this year, Jersey?
For sure. I was very invested in Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Housewives franchise?
God, you know, I used to be a hardcore. I was like New York and Atlanta. Like, those were the two. Those were the ones. Now I think I'm like a full Potomac girl. Like, I really think that I'm like, I used to just have my toe in Potomac and now I'm fully on the deep end.
One thing about Candace Dillard-Bassett is that she's extremely funny. She's so wrong and so loud and wrong, but she's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
I think about her saying, like, I invited her into my home. I gave her a beverage with regard to Ashley all the time. It's such a funny thing.
I know.
I really love her. But let's get into Dubai. So I think, like, immediately, first off, it's very glossy. The cinematography, it was giving more Selling Sunset than OG Housewives for me. There's just, like, a lot of, like, you know, long runway walks into restaurants, like, music and stuff like that. And I'm, like, not mad at it. It just felt, it had a different feel to it, you know?
Stomping my heels, lipstick on, let's go to dinner. I was like, okay. Like, it was giving very much Selling Sunset for sure. Like,
for sure.
Demons don't open their own car door. I'm like, okay. What's going on?
I also like that we were introduced to the ladies in all a very different way. Like, we got full chyrons about, like, where they're from, their status, what they do for a living. So the first woman we meet is Sarah Almadani, who's Emirati. She's from the United Arab Emirates. She's a divorced mom of one and a tech entrepreneur. Her tagline is, a woman should be two things, who and what she wants. What do you think about that tagline?
There were better taglines for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
One was a little too nuanced for a tagline. I'm like, I had to think a little too much for that one.
Right. our next lady is Chanel Ayan. They keep calling her Ayan. I want to call her Chanel, but we'll see. Our first view of her is her skipping in a mall with Chanel bags on her arms, shoeless. And she's like, she's from Kenya, she's married, and apparently she's Dubai's first Black supermodel. Her tagline is, they don't hate me because I'm beautiful, they hate me because they're basic.
Yeah, again, we can do a little better. I liked her, though.
I really thought she shined. She's understanding that she's on a television show without being too messy. It's a really fine line. to be like showing out for TV and not being like obvious.
Absolutely. Like, she's giving the people a show, and yeah, like you said, not being too obnoxious about it. Yes, I like her.
Love her. Then we're introduced to one Caroline Stanberry, former Lady of London. They're describing her as a British married mom of three, an entrepreneur, and aspiring hotelier. You watch Ladies of London, right?
Religiously.
Okay. So this has to be like a monumental moment, right? Because she's probably the first person who has jumped from a non-housewife show to a housewives, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about Caroline Stanberry, okay? She's Absolutely. Also probably one of the wealthiest people on Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm obsessed with that. Like, she's got old money in the way that, like, Sonia Morgan could never.
Yeah.
Old English royalty, well-pedigreed money. Like, she makes Lisa Vanderpump look like fucking Honey Boo Boo, comparatively. Like, the lady's wealthy. She married wealthy. She continues to marry wealthy. And for that, we have to stand. I love it.
Yeah, Caroline is a real, like, Caroline is one of those people that ends up being, like, a grounding force no matter what show she's on.
Mm-hmm.
She is the show. She, and, like, she has a real, like, awareness of her power, of her magnitude, of her beauty, of her wealth. And she just kind of, like, comfortably stands in it. Like, I don't know. I just think that Caroline is one of the greatest reality stars we've ever seen because she was just so bred for it. And, you know, she's so natural on TV and she naturally takes a leadership role no matter what. Like, she's, of course, I was like, of course she's narrating this show. Like, of course she's the Greek chorus. Like, it took no time for her to step right into the front as the lead of the show.
Yeah, she speaks softly and carries a big stick, for sure.
Yeah.
I love that. She's got, like, big dick energy, definitely.
Absolutely.
Her tagline is, in the city of gold, nothing shines brighter than me.
I mean, it's, I like it. I like it.
I do too. Then we have Nina Ali. She is a Lebanese-American, married mom of three. I think she was born in Lebanon, raised mostly in Austin. She's described as a mommy influencer and CEO, and her tagline is, if you think money can't buy you happiness, you clearly haven't been to Dubai.
I like that too.
I like her energy. I really do.
Yeah.
Then we have Caroline Brooks. She is American. She's a divorced mom of one. Her description was entrepreneur slash spa enthusiast. Which, like, what does that mean, baby? What does that mean?
Like, candle lover.
drop the candle line, Caroline. We all know it's going to happen, you know?
I know.
Oh, God. Her tagline is, the desert is ruthless, but nothing is more savage than me, which I thought was clunky. Like, if you're going to start with ruthless, you don't end on savage, right?
Yeah, like, you get one of those words.
Yeah.
You don't get two words.
No, I thought it was real clunky. Our final lady is Lisa Milan, who was a real standout for me. I also liked her. She's Jamaican-American. She's a married mother of three and a maternity fashion designer. And her tagline is, the only thing you can take from me are notes.
I mean, iconic.
Iconic. I thought she was so funny. She was a real standout for me this episode. So our first real scene is with Chanel Ayan. She's in the desert doing this gorgeous photo shoot. She's got this gold headpiece on. And then we also get her talking head, which I feel like not since, and this is a deep cut, Blood, Sweat, and Heels. There was a lady who did her talking heads on a chaise lounge. Mm-hmm. And nobody's been able to do it since then. So when we see Chanel and we get to see, like, the full gown, because we only get our housewives interviews from the waist up, I was like, yes, I'm giving. They're having production, like, fluff out the bottom of her dress so we can get the full moment of that orange, beautiful gown she was wearing. And I'm like, okay, this is giving so extra. And I love it.
Yeah, the talking head was like such, all of the talking heads were such a high point for me, because I really liked the touches that this production team put on the show to like differentiate the show from the other franchises. And it's like, what, you know, they're talking heads in comparison to those green screens that they're doing on the other cities. I mean, it makes them look tragic, truly.
Cheap, poor, poor.
Poor.
And tacky. There's really not much there. Like, she speaks four different languages. She tells us right off the bat, like, in four different ways, I'm a badass bitch. Like, Dorit Kemsley found shaking, the only, you know, multi-language person on Bravo. Watch your back, sis.
Right.
And she and her son are like really close. They're basically like the Gilmore Girls of Dubai. She has no problem like exchanging his education for their quality time, and says, you know, he might not know what 10 times 10 is, but he will have memories of me hanging out. So, you know what? God bless. God bless.
Yeah, I always appreciate a fellow mother's boy, future mother's boy. I was like looking into my past. I really, really liked that. I thought they were really sweet.
Really, really sweet. They seem to have like a really nice rapport with each other. I will say that like something about the housewives is that even though they might be horrible people, and I'm not saying that Chanel is, more often than not, they're like very good mothers. And that's such an odd dichotomy.
I know. And I've said this before, like, I think there are certain housewives that I would not be as endeared to if it weren't for their kids.
Yeah, Giselle.
Giselle, like, oh my God, Giselle has amazing, a dynamic, funny, smart kids. And, like, I just want to watch her kids interact with her. You know what I mean? Like, definitely makes me like her more. So, yeah, I agree with that sentiment.
So after that, we see Caroline Stanberry in bed, just like classic rich woman. She's got some like chunk of hair that she's calling a dog. And it's like, the dog just peed in the bed. Sergio, the dog just peed in the bed. Not at one point does she try to like get up, separate herself from the dog pee that just peed in the bed. She seemed pretty comfortable. Just repeatedly announcing that the dog peed in the bed, but doing nothing about it.
Like, the most she did was, like, bevel her foot and, like, point to it with her foot.
Right! So she moved to Dubai, like, 6 or 7 years ago with her husband. Do you remember her husband and how hot he was?
Ugh. Yes, absolutely.
Like, Mauricio found out. He's so hot. Oh my God, he's so hot. You guys, look. Go back and look. I mean, they're not together anymore, but whew, good one. So they broke up, like, by the time they're filming, like, a year and a half ago, prior. But now she's engaged, well, married, really, to some guy named Sergio. He's 27. She's 45. She's, like, fully admits that she met him in the depths of her midlife crisis. And also is like, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. Who cares? Yeah. So she also asks this man that she's already married to how to pronounce his last name. Could you imagine?
I know. And like the confidence to do that on camera.
Right. How embarrassing. And I tweeted about that and she responded, LOL. So
I love that. Oh my gosh. From her bed beveling.
Truly. Tweeted from my bed. Don't mind the dog pee. So I'm also pretty curious to see how or if they would talk about like how conservative Dubai is. Mm-hmm. And our first example of that is when she says, you know, because she's Jewish, I think she said Sergio's Catholic. They're not the same religion. And also she's divorced. Legally, they couldn't get married in Dubai. So they had to jet off to Mauritius to legally get married. They are planning to have like a big celebration with all the family and friends, like a month out. But then she says, you know, like, I really didn't feel the need to get married. I just felt like I'm more doing it for Sergio because he's so young and hot that he wanted to prove to the world that he wasn't just her boy toy.
Yeah. Which, like,
I heard that he's like quite wealthy in his own regard, so I don't know why that would be important to him, but okay.
I know, and it's like, who cares? Like, it's so funny the way that people will show that they're threatened by somebody's relationship.
Yeah.
Like, the different ways that it sort of shows itself. It's like, even if he was, like, a boy toy, who gives a shit? It's Dubai. Like, if women can do that, I mean, who cares? You know, like, who
gives a shit? I absolutely agree. I will say that, like, I never had a desire to go to Dubai, and watching this episode, I still didn't. If anything, I had less of a desire. It just seems very, like, new money to me and, like, thirsty in a way that, like, I don't care about.
Right. Like, it feels like a place where, like, if you have wealth, you are flaunting it in the most insecure, obnoxious, sort of, like, gross way. Like, very tactful.
Yeah. Not for me. No. Then we meet Lisa, who, her scene was kind of boring. We didn't really get a whole lot from her other than, like, we see her kids and her husband. She met her husband down in Miami at Club Live 10 years ago. They're living a blessed life. She's got three sons. For some reason, they all have three different accents. One sounds Jamaican.
Iconic children.
One's Jamaican, one's American, and the other one's British. I don't know how that happens, but I love to see it.
I was so smitten.
They're really cute. And her husband's cute. The whole family's, like, super cute. The one thing that I will say I found interesting is that she said that Dubai is really safe for Black boys, and that was, like, her main motivation for staying there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I haven't really heard Dubai being a safe haven for anybody. So for it to be for Black boys, is genuinely shocking to hear.
Yeah, I know. I think that will be one of the things that I, like, didn't really take into account that I am really excited about with this franchise is, like, just to learn all of those little nuancey, weird things, like, in a way that you learn stuff about Salt Lake, you know? Yeah. But that feels like more so that's like closer to home. So a lot of it isn't like as shocking. But I do like that they sprinkle in like these little, you know, interesting like facts about just like their lifestyle and stuff. Like, it's cool.
It is cool. And I liked it. Like, I mean, I feel like at some point there's not going to be a point where they get into like how Dubai treats, you know, those in the LGBT community. But
yeah.
At least we're getting something. So then we meet Caroline B. Caroline Brooks. She is in a full Christian Dior outfit by the pool with her son. And I love a housewife who talks about how, you know, I got a divorce from my husband. I left everything. I didn't get anything out of the divorce. And I'm just a woman out here trying to make it. But here you are in a head-to-toe Christian Dior.
Yeah.
Her housekeeper's asking you what you want. She's got a full uniform on. She's like talking about how they have two homes, and the home that we're seeing is actually her weekend home, and how if people think that the homes in Dubai are small, it's because the cost of living is incredibly expensive. So are you like, you're not poor. So what's happening here? Like, what, you had to pick a story and sell it. Like, I'm not believing that you like really started from the ground up when you're like sitting in the daytime in Marabu slides. Like, I just, it doesn't make sense to me, you know? Okay, girl.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
She is like, you know, I'm from Boston. You know, for me to be a girl from Boston and to be a divorced woman and to start a business, I should be in the Guinness Book of World Records. What?
What?
For what?
For what?
Getting a job?
What would be your talent, girl? Like, what is the, what record did you break?
What, let us know, girl. I'm waiting. You can DM me. Then she makes her son take a selfie with her and then asks him if he can promise to never get married and never leave her and she'll take care of him. So again, very Bates Motel, mm-hmm. Creepy, odd.
A mother's boy.
She's going to make a psychologist very happy in about 10 years.
That's like, I'm not kidding. That's the kind of shit that my mom used to say to me when I was younger, because I was like raised by a single mom and I didn't know it was weird. And I'd be like, sure, for sure. Like, I'll marry you. Mm-hmm.
So creepy. I love that. So then we see Lisa and Chanel Ion meet up for lunch. And they're talking, like, they're friends through modeling or whatever, fashion world. And they were planning on going to the Hermes store. And Caroline's like, Lisa's like, I can't actually go because I'm going to be going to Caroline's hen party. And she's like, you know, it's really important because, you know, you only get married once. Or twice, I guess. Then we get their interview opinions on Caroline and Sergio's relationship. Lisa is like, I'm playing the fifth. I'm not going to be saying anything. But Chanel just lets the chopper spray and is like, you know what? They're fake. They're phony. I just feel like they're showing off on Instagram. There's a lot of sexual energy coming through those pictures. And I feel like it's a collaboration. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Let's hear more about that, Chanel. Let's talk about that. I don't think she's wrong.
Definitely. And I love the use of the term collaboration.
Right.
I love that.
That's a real deep cut of shade. So Chanel says that she's actually only met Caroline on a couple of occasions, but like they did not get along at all. She felt like their energies didn't match. Caroline didn't even try to talk to her. She thinks that's weird because they have a lot of friends in common. So like, why would you pick me to be rude? There were a lot of mentions about Caroline and how she's basically hot or cold. You have to catch her at a good moment. She's either like super super bitchy, yeah, or she'll be like being nice to you, and it's anyone's guess as to when that's going to happen. So you know, classic Caroline, classic Stanberry.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so nothing's changed. Like, it's so funny listening to, I mean, on this show, it's obviously nowhere near as bad, but, like, on Ladies of London, like, those women were so creepily obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, would, you know, revolve the show around her. Do you remember that, like, restaurateur?
Oh, yeah.
Every week would be like, we're on the street. It's a Caroline Stanberry is out shoe shopping. And, like, she always knew, like...
She and her husband made that like chic, like upscale hot dog place in the middle of London. Like, girl.
Yes. Yes. We're on the street about Caroline Stanberry. She was always so like Harriet the Spy about her. But no, it's like she truly like commands the presence of the cast. It's like wild.
Extreme main character energy without even trying.
Yes.
Julie Angus. Have you done a deep dive on her and, like, her friendship with Lindsay Lohan and why she knows all these celebrities?
No, I have not.
I need to know. I really need to know what that all is about. But anyway, so Caroline B calls Lisa while she's at lunch with Chanel. And she's like, oh, what are you going to wear to Caroline Stanberry's party? And then she's like, oh, wait, I actually heard that Chanel wasn't invited. Doesn't that suck? Oh, everybody else is going to be going. That's really dramatic, blah, blah, blah. She's on speakerphone while Chanel's hearing all of this. And it's like, first of all, get off the phone. Secondly, I don't want to talk about this shit. So finally, she gets off the phone. And we find out that Chanel also doesn't like Caroline B. And says like, hey, I don't fuck with her. If I don't like somebody, I can be petty as fuck. And we can play Keats for Toot, okay? I can do that. And she's like, oh, baby, not the word, not the term. It's like toot for toot.
Oh my god, this is iconic.
That is so good. Oh my gosh. Sergio and Caroline have their hen party on the yacht. This is going to sound like maybe anti-feminist of me, but earlier Caroline was talking about how Sergio was going to be at the hen party, the bachelorette party, and how like, oh, he does everything with me. He's going to be there, whatever. Like, I don't like couples who hang out with each other too much. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
It's a little, it's giving Alex and Simon. I don't abide by that. I don't like it.
I also think it's like, you should be, like, you have to have an understanding of, like, the energy of, like, a party like that. And, like, you're throwing the energy off for everybody by having him there. Like,
right.
Everybody feels weird about it. So, like, why would you do it?
Why do it? Do you think Sergio's hot? Because I don't.
Not really, no. I mean, like, it's like, my standards are at the core of the earth. Like, so, you know, it's like, I'd fuck him for sure. It would take me, like, a sip of a Heineken to be like, okay, yeah. But no, I was like not feeling it, like not for her. It's not giving.
Not. And he's super tan. Like, who is that guy who's really tan? The old guy, George Hamilton. Is that his name? Like, why are he so dark? It doesn't make sense. But you know, happy congratulations to the happy couple. So then we find out that at this party that Lisa has an issue with Chanel. And she reads her down in this interview, okay? So apparently Lisa and Chanel had a friendship at some point, or they've known each other for a couple of years, but a month ago, Chanel just stopped talking to Lisa. And Lisa goes on in this interview, she's like, you know, I've known Chanel for about 2 years, and, you know, she'll generally enter a room, the garment will come in first, and the feathers are already flying around in your mouth, and then her wig trails in long after her, 3 inches back in her forehead, like, baby, wow.
Okay. I know, I live, and I live for this, like, there's so many different, because this is such, like, a multicultural show. Mm-hmm. There's so many different kinds of reads coming.
Right.
So many different styles of reads. Like, it's very fun.
It's like the Benetton of reads. Like, every color, every shade, all fair. And I love it. I'm happy. Yeah. This is the equality that I'm looking for. Everybody can be equally shady and rude to everybody. Yep. Then she says that her relationship with Chanel is like sometimes good, sometimes bad. When it's good, it's because Chanel's being quiet. And when it's bad, it's because Chanel's out there squealing about something. So everybody's like partying and drinking on the boat, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Boring. But there was like some information from Nina about the alcohol in Dubai and how you access it. And she says that you can't go to the store and get alcohol. Like, that you can get a drink at a restaurant or whatever, but you can't really get it. There's like this party, this Hindu is like stocked with alcohol. So again, just how does she get it on the boat? This is, like, Caroline Stanberry, like, the rules don't apply to her, you know?
I know, she just orders everything. And like, again, I feel like she's been doing that, nothing's changed. Like, even before Postmates, because Ladies of London was, like, so long ago. Like, mm-hmm. even before DoorDash and Postmates and anything. Like, wasn't, like, her business was, like, basically hand-delivering gifts, but, like, she would just order shit from her phone all the time. Yeah. And I remember thinking that that was, like, wild.
Such an interesting concept. And I also remember her office had, like, the first, like, cutesy hipster LED light sign that I'd ever seen. Iconic. Like, yes. We don't know that. She had that shit years before it became popular.
Yeah, where you had to, like, find a company to actually, like, make it for you, because you couldn't just get it at, like, Target.
So then we meet Nina and Sarah. We're off the boat at this point. Nina and Sarah are going off with their kids to go to some 50-foot-high something called the Frame to walk on it. It's like one of those things where it has like a glass bottom, so it's scary if you walk past it, right? Honestly, not much from this, except for I thought it was truly amazing that Sarah went on her first scene on a Housewife show with not a stitch of makeup, not one.
I actually thought
it was incredibly refreshing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So what, I mean, honestly, what happened? Oh, I mean, she's like really from Dubai. I mean, not like really, really, but she seems to have lived in Dubai the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives us a lot of information about like the old Dubai and the new Dubai, and how she, as an Islamic woman, a Muslim woman, she's like kind of riding the fence. She's divorced. That's not super accepted in Dubai. She also like doesn't cover up and says that's like a cultural decision that Islamic women make. It's not like a requirement. She also had a tattoo on her ankle, which I thought, like, wow. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen that in a while. I love a lady with an ankle tattoo. It's kind of like, you know, like women have like Diet Coke energy. Like there's a diet girl and that's like a very specific personality. There's also like ankle tattoo, you know?
Yeah. Especially if it's like a rose. If you have a rose on your ankle, you are a specific kind of gal.
Very. Very. We don't need to get into it. So the thing that we get out of this scene is that Nina's going to be planning a dinner party for the girls, a full moon situation. She seems to think that this is going to be very peaceful. Spoiler alert. Not. So we get to the dinner party. The first thing we see is Nina holding up a crystal to the moon and saging the dinner table. Again, did not work. Lisa, everybody again in an interview, she's like, because the girls are coming, the theme was supposed to be everybody was supposed to wear pastel. She's the only one who showed up in pastel. And she's like, you know, Nina, who was the host, looked like she was going to a discotheque. Lisa was in a full wedding gown. Sarah looked like she was going to an Elvis concert. I was the only person who understood the assignment, and honestly, I regret it.
Yeah.
I get it. Chanel Ayan arrives in a full gold gown. Unbelievable. I mean, she looked incredible, but like it was so extra, so dynasty.
Yes, very dynasty.
She and Caroline Sanbury get into it before she even sits down. Because she called her Sanbury instead of Caroline, and Caroline's like, no, that's not my name. Don't call me Sanbury. Then they all sit down. Somebody gives Chanel a compliment. She's like, I know, I did look great. You know, before I left the house, I looked in the mirror and thought, wow, I am stunning. And all the girls just look at her like, oh, okay.
I guess. Can I also just say the name exchange was like such a great, like, just quick little slap in the face. And the way that they hugged was like the most rickety, robotic, like, like arms patting the back, and I love when she goes please call me by my name, and she goes, ah, same thing, Johnny.
I don't give a shit, girl. Anyway, right. I love it. So finally she sits down, everybody's talking. Caroline mentions her stripper name, which is the name of your first pet and your mother's maiden name. What is your stripper name?
So My mom, I have my mom's last name, so literally my stripper name would be Lucy McEady, which is, like, so dark. Like, that is so... But I always grew up hearing that it's supposed to be your pet's first name. Your pet's first
name. And the street.
And the street you grew up on. So...
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
It actually would be Lucy Morewood. Can we talk?
Oh.
Can we talk?
That's sensual.
Lucy Morewood. What is yours?
Was Lucy a cat or a dog?
Cat.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Mine would be, if we went with the mother's maiden name, it would be Madeline Warren. If we went through the first street that I grew up in, it would be, well, I grew up on a street called Circle Drive West, so it would be Madeline Circle Drive West.
Wait, that's...
I don't know.
That's an iconic drag name, actually.
Right?
Like, I actually really... I love the idea of your last name, like, your surname in drag being, like, a very formal street.
Right.
It's so funny.
So then the girls are talking about Caroline's hen party. Basically, all of them had been invited except for Chanel and Sarah. So they're all talking about it and like, oh, what a great time it was. Chanel's like, boring. I don't want to talk about this. I wasn't here. Like, whatever, you guys. Can we move on and talk about something that I'm a part of? And everybody's like, no.
I know. That was the fact that the whole table collectively said, the party was really fun. Like, it was amazing for us all to be at the party.
I loved it. So Caroline's like telling Chanel, you know, you weren't invited, which like she didn't need to tell her. Nina's like, I just want to cleanse the energy real quick. Didn't work. Caroline says, you can't cleanse the energy. I can't bear this woman. Okay. So Chanel's like, oh, you can't bear me, but you don't know anything about me. And Caroline's like, I don't want to know anything about you. So there you go. So then Sarah's like trying to mitigate the situation. She's like, you know, I wasn't invited either. It's okay. I understand. I feel like Caroline probably just wanted to bring her closest friends there. And Chanel's like, yeah, well, fine. I just don't want to talk about something that I wasn't a part of. Which, like, I get.
It's just a weird statement to make.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to try and turn the conversation so that you can be a part of it, but to be like, ding, ding, ding. I'm not able to make this about me, so I'd like to move on. Right. No, I'd like to move on. It's like, it's such an odd thing.
It's so odd. It's so funny. And God bless her for it, honestly.
I know. Seriously.
So then we find out really why Chanel is mad. It's because Caroline Brooks called her. So she calls her out and is like, Caroline, you called me at 7:00 in the morning one day, telling me about Caroline Stanberry and her party and how Caroline's only inviting the most important people. And Caroline's like, but I was just joking. You know, and I just don't want anybody to feel bad over it, but like, it was just a joke. But like, was it? Was it?
But it was a fabulous party. So mean.
So mean. So Chanel says in an interview that she feels like Caroline Brooks is super messy. She basically just wants to pick at her. And Lisa, in her own interview, agrees that Caroline Brooks is really messy. That's like the truth. So Caroline calls Chanel a liar for the conversation that they had. And Chanel's like, Caroline, you're jealous. And Caroline's like, of you? Of you? And you look like a scarecrow?
She's like, of you in that driveway. But like honestly listen, my mom and I make fun of this all the time. Like, it's so funny when somebody, like, she truly was carrying on with that hair. She was taking it and throwing it and tossing it and twirling it and truly carrying on. And it's like, girl, if you're gonna carry on that much with a hair system, it better be a good one. That was not a good wig. Sorry.
It wasn't great. It seemed like it could have used a little bit more got to be glue. Yeah, I was nervous that at any point it would just fall off. But
right, like, you were truly tossing that wig as if it is in any way attached to your skull. It doesn't seem to be.
It's the confidence for me, you know?
Right.
So what do you think? Do you think the Caroline Brooks told her that? Because I do think she did. She was like, oh yeah, Caroline Stanberry really wants to invite people important to her, which I think is a fair thing for a wedding related event. Mm-hmm. It's not like something that you take that personally.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It did seem like she told her, and I'll tell you why I appreciated the moment. As a messy person myself, it's always fun to see. It's always fun to see how another fellow messy person can get out of being caught. She handled it with grace, class, humor. I thought she did a good job. I mean, she clearly started some shit and was like being called out for it and denying it. But like, if you can do that in a charming way, you know, that's great.
And the truth is, like, Caroline probably would have said that, but she technically didn't.
Right.
But it's still, like, probably true. So, Nina shoots the whole conversation down. I was like, you guys, if you want to talk about this, that's fine, but it's not going to be at my dinner. And it's like, okay, well, Nina, you're not bringing anything to this table except for sage. Girl. So, you should thankfully be lucky.
I know. It's like, what do you want us to talk about? Like, your family and stuff? We don't want to.
Like, what was the theme? Like, are we all supposed to hold a crystal up to the moon? Like, what were you planning for this party? Because it has to be way less interesting than what's actually happening.
Don't you love the person that's like, please, girls, no drama. Not tonight. Anything but drama. Like, I love that cast member.
Not at my event. I love the, like, the stakes of, like, I don't want to get into a conversation at this event. This is, like, something that Beverly Hills is really known for. Like, I'm having an opening for Kyle by Shahidi. Please, no, please, no drama there.
Please, not at my t-shirt launch. Please.
Oh, I also just want to say really quickly that, like, when they went in Beverly Hills to Sutton's whatever French man designer launch, and Dorit was like, how dare she have a step and repeat? How could she possibly have media here? Doesn't she know what I went through? I was like, Dorit, I want to give you a lot of grace for what happened to you, but like, girl, nobody's thinking about you like that.
Oh, I know. Like, are you kidding me? Like, agreed.
She's not going to have media at her public event because of you. Like, don't walk the step and repeat then.
Yeah.
You have to answer questions. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, don't come in high whore drag to the event.
Right. Lord. I'm really struggling with Dorit in a way that I, like, can't really get into because it's bordering on problematic, but I won't get into it. We'll talk and not to say that I don't think what happened, I know there are a lot of people who don't think that break-in was real, and I do. Mm-hmm. And I also want to, like, be graceful towards, like, the trauma that she's experiencing. But also, it's, like, there are just some things where I feel like, okay, you're doing a little too much. And this has nothing to do with your break-in. That's all.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's Dorit. She's always going to take it up a notch.
Exactly. So, what happens? Okay, so, basically, the episode ends with Sarah trying to break it down. And trying to, like, figure out what happened. Okay. Caroline Stanberry, did you say that you were only going to invite important people? No, I didn't say that. Okay. Caroline Brooks. Did you say that to Chanel? No, I didn't. Chanel. Okay. Case closed. And Chanel's like, no, but she did say that to me. So not case closed.
And then Caroline's, of course, is still like, and we had fun.
Yes. So much fun. So yeah, I really thought that was so funny. Caroline's like, yeah, Caroline Sander didn't say that. That was from me, not from her. But, you know, there's always like 50% truth to all of this. So,
yeah.
What did you think about the premiere overall?
Honestly, killed it. Like, all of my trying to, like, avoid connecting to this went right out the door. I'm involved. I'm attached. I'm invested. The heart wants what it wants. And, you know. It's like, I can't deny this goddamn network. Like, Bravo is my kayfabe, by the way. And I keep letting him back in.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Before we end, briefly, I just want to talk about something that's been going on the internet. It's been hot source of debate. I guess the MTV Awards are airing soon, maybe this weekend. Mm-hmm. And it was announced that Bethany Frankel was going to be getting, like, the reality TV. I don't know what the title is, but, like, iconic person in reality TV, right? Boo, tomato, tomato, tomato. I just feel like, what is Bethany's impact, really? Like, outside of Skinny Girl, something that I know y'all aren't still buying, because every time I go into a liquor store, that shit is dusty. Every bottle's dusty. How do you even say that she is more impactful than Tiffany New York Pollard or even NeNe Leakes? Like, what are the requirements here?
Okay, you know that I'm a Bethany apologist, so this was like a good question for me. You know that.
Yeah.
You plan this well, and you're a good podcaster. yeah. As an apologist, if I had to say, I think that Bethany, like, even though there are other reality stars that have more of, like, a cultural impact, like, Tiffany, for sure, you can't deny Tiffany's, like, cultural impact and, like, the way she's infiltrated, like, every decade, every generation, basically, like, of youth culture and, like, internet language, and, like, it's just crazy. Like, Tiffany is everything. That's just such a good example. But I think as far as, like, the blueprint of what's possible for a reality star, even just the way that they're perceived, I think Bethany's the blueprint. Like, the idea that a reality star can, like, be even perceived the way that a lot of them are perceived in, quote, business, I think she's the blueprint in that way. And also, like, the Greek chorus thing, like, I think the way that she approached reality TV was, like, very unique for the time, and then it just kind of became, like, well, you need, like, a Bethany kind of person on each cast of a show.
Yeah. But, like, what about her impact in the past few years? Because even though NeNe and Tiffany have basically been out of, just as much out of the game as Bethany has, the impact is still far greater. Like, I would imagine that there are a lot of people who say, like, a NeNe Leakes quote, not having any idea of where it came from, you know? Like, and I don't think Bethany has that impact.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, it's really hard to argue. I don't know, that is really difficult. But I also think that people who infiltrate, like there are some reality stars who infiltrate meme culture. Like, I think NeNe has infiltrated meme culture, which in a lot of ways makes it feel more like every day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the impact of NeNe Leakes is so, it's in your phone. Like, it's literally in your keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sure. So, like, that's, yeah, you're right. I get what you mean, for sure.
Okay, well, thank you. As long as, right? That's all I needed. Thank you so much for doing this. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, thank you so much for having me and giving me an excuse to watch the premiere. I was going to anyway, but I probably would have put it off for a while. So, thank you. And yeah, you can find me. I have a podcast called Beyond the Blinds that I host with my friend Kelly Williams. And I host another podcast by myself called Dunzo that Kara's been on 90 million times. If you want to go and listen to some of those episodes. And yeah, you can find me on the internet, just mostly at Dunzo Pod. And yes, you can just Google things.
Google Troy McKeady and check your resume, bitch, okay? Well, I love you so much. You're always a dear. Thank you again, and you have a great day.
I love you too. I'll talk to you later. Bye.